And without further ado, Rabbi Shapiro. Good Devach and Shavua Tov to everyone. It's fantastic to be here. I didn't realize how many, not just familiar faces I would be seeing, but people that I really view as my family. It's pretty exceptional. Some people who know me my entire life. We are a few days before Rosh Hashanah, so hopefully we can be inspired together. I want to thank a few people. Firstly, I want to thank the Brotherhood of the Young Israel of Hollywood for allowing me to come and making it possible. I'd like to single out Dr. Jordan Ditchick. He knows me literally my entire life. And growing up in Miami Beach, our families are the closest of friends. We were the closest of friends. We are the closest of friends. And when he called me, and he asked me on behalf of the shul if I would come, that for me was like a big deal. That was very, very special. I could probably spend the next 40 plus minutes telling you stories of our youth, and you might find that even more entertaining. But I don't know that I would. But the fact that Jordan called me and I was able to come, It means a great deal to me. As I said, our families are very, very close. And it's very special. There are a number of people who came from North Miami Beach. I don't know if this means they're not going to hear me on Rosh Hashanah or they want to hear me twice. But it's very, very nice. And I also see that really a number of people came. I was going to wish Jordan's mother-in-law, Mrs. Pam Gross, a very special and happy, happy birthday. She's not here, but her family will surely tell her. And plus the fact that so many recorders are going, she'll find out that we wish your mother-in-law, Mrs. Pam Gross, a very happy and special birthday. And we should celebrate Simchas together. The topic we have is like a parent treats a child. And it's to be a little bit of a lesson on parenting. But I'm talking about parenting in the sense that anyone can relate to it, something that we could all try to make a sincere proposal for the new year. Perhaps the best place to start is with the Haftarah, Parshas Nasoi. It's such a powerful, powerful pshat. It's actually found in the Sefer of Reb Shimon Schwab. If you have at home, it's a large volume on Chumash called Mayan Beis HaShoeva. Reb Shimon Schwab says the following in the back, in Parshas, the Haftarah for Parshas Nasoi. A famous story, we're going to do it briefly because there's a lot to cover. Manoach and his wife had not yet been blessed with children. Years later, they were blessed with a child. That child was a Nazir, the famous Shimshon HaGibor. But at the point the story's taking place, they had not yet been blessed with children. And an angel, the Pasuk says that an angel appears to her and explains that she's going to have a child and the child is going to be a Nazir. And then there's a small list of things that he tells her regarding the Nazir, how the Nazir cannot become tameh, contaminated, how the Nazir doesn't cut his hair, how the Nazir doesn't have wine products. And she hears the entire thing. He comes home, Manoach does. And she recounts to him what it was that she was told. And he listens. He then turns to his wife and he says that he would like to hear this from the angel, from the man of God again. Vayomer Manoach. Manoach says he needs to hear it again. The angel comes back, the man of God comes back. He says, "You're the one who spoke to my wife." Yes, and then he turns and he says to Manoach, "Mikol asher amarti Elohisha tishomer. Whatever I told your wife to do, she should do." And apparently that satisfied Manoach to a great deal that now all of a sudden he was okay. Now, there are a few questions that are so glaring and so obvious. Number one, Manoah heard the report the first time, so what was his question? He heard his wife say that an angel said, we're going to have a Nazir, and these are the laws of Nazir. So what exactly was it that he was bothered or didn't understand? And if you'll tell me he didn't understand the laws of Nazir or wanted to hear it again, he didn't have to ask it from an angel. You could ask it to a Navi or a judge, a prophet. There are plenty of ways to find out. But I guess the biggest question is, apparently there was something that was on his mind. He says, I have to hear it again. The angel comes back and all he says to Manoah were those six words, Mikol asher amarti el isha tishamer, whatever I told your wife to do, she should do. Nothing new ostensibly was added. So what was it that was bothering Manoah that now when he hears that report again, the same six words, now all of a sudden he's okay? What happened here? Reb Shimon Schwab tells us something that he actually says in the left-hand column is literally what you can call for this year Parenting 101. He actually says that it is the single best and most powerful and poignant piece of advice in parenting, but when you hear what it is, you'll see why it applies to everyone equally. Manoah knew the laws of Nazir. Manoah heard and understood good and well what his wife said. Reb Shimon Schwab said he had a different question. And he wondered when he heard the report from his wife, he said to himself, what? We're going to have a Nazir? A Nazir is such a godly, exalted child. How are we going to have a Nazir? We're not necessarily on that level. That's what bothered him. I know the laws. I heard what you said. But if we are not all that, if we are not on the level of being a Nazir, how are we going to have and raise a Nazir? That's like God's child. And so he said to his wife, I want the angel to come back again and explain to me how it's possible. That's what was on his mind. The laws he knew, how could we do it though? So what is it that the angel answers that Manoah says, now I get it. Mikol asher amarti el isha tishomer. If Schwab says grammatically, tishomer is one of the unique words in Lashon HaKodesh that are both zachar and nekeva, masculine and feminine. When he told Manoah, Mikol asher amarti el isha tishomer, whatever I told your wife to do, he was not saying tishomer, lashon nekeva, your wife should do. Mikol asher amarti ela isha, whatever I told your wife vis-a-vis the child, tishomer, lashon zohar, you, Manoah, have to do. Like we would say in the vernacular, you got to walk the walk and talk the talk. You've got to be the real deal. So Manoah, you have a good question, Parenting 101. How am I going to raise a Nazir? Mikol asher amarti el isha, whatever I told your wife, tishomer, you, Manoah, have to do. And if you do it, and they see that you're the real deal, and of course, davening and siyata d'shmaya, then you could raise a Nazir. Rav Schwab goes on to say, this is literally the most powerful piece of advice that any person, it's not just a matter of being a parent, but to teach by proper example. People are watching, the children are watching. And so the answer to Manoah's question of how to have a Nazir is Mikol asher amarti ela isha, whatever I told her vis-a-vis a future child, tishomer, you've got to be the real deal. My wife knew a woman, she's no longer alive, but she lives somewhere in South Florida, who said for years, when you used to take the city bus in Florida, in Dade, in Broward, you only started to pay for your child when your child turned 5. Now, she had a little boy who was 5 and a couple of months, but she simply wasn't interested in paying for the child as well. So she tells the child when they get on the bus, this is exactly the way the story happened. When you get on the bus and the driver asks you how old you are, tell him you're 4 years old. She didn't feel like paying twice. And he was 5 in a couple months, but it's no biggie. They get on the bus. The driver turns to the child, because the lady only paid for herself, and said, little boy, how old are you? And he said, I'm 4 years old. To which the driver then says to the child, when are you going to be 5? And he says, and I quote, the second I get off the bus. Now let me tell you the flip side of that story that happened a couple years later. One of our mispalim in North Miami Beach was visiting a relative in Eretz Yisrael. And the relative shared with this balabas the following story. He has two little children, maybe 9 and 10, and he comes home one day to find they're playing Monopoly in the evening. Now, the game is lasting like 4 hours, and it doesn't seem like either of the kids or the neighbor's kids, where they're playing together, won. The man tells our balabas from North Miami Beach, literally, I came home every night after work, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and my kids and the neighbor's kids are playing the same game of Monopoly. Now, if you're playing 3-4 hours a night for a week, you're talking about something south of 20 hours. Monopoly doesn't last a fraction of that. So he's exasperated, and he turns to his kids, and he says, like, what are you still doing playing the same game of Monopoly? You get all the money and the property, you win. You lose all the money. I just want to acknowledge the Rav, the Meirid Asher, walked in, and it's a very big schluss to speak in his presence. So he says, what are you doing playing a game of Monopoly for an entire week? It doesn't work that way. You get all the properties, you win. You lose the money, you lose the properties, you're out. So, like, whoever's out of money is finished and the game's over. So his 9-year-old turns to him and says, no, Abba, in this game no one loses. You see, we started a gemach. He says, we started a gemach. You don't run out of money. You're out of money. We started a gemach. Now, both of those stories happened exactly that way. So the question to ask ourselves, Erev Rosh Hashanah, pre-Slichos, regarding parenting is simple. You gotta be the real deal. Are they going to see from us, I'll be 5 when I get off the bus? Or will they intuitively and instinctively understand that if your home is a home of chesed, then Monopoly, you start a gemach. And everything else about parenting can be commentary on what we just established. But setting an example, making it a home of love and warmth and where there's the proper speech and proper values, that's what Manoach was told. Mikol asher amarti el isha tishomer, you gotta be the real deal. They're watching and they're learning from our example. And we certainly want them to understand that it's a home of chesed, a home of kindness, a home of sharing and caring, a home where you even start a gemach to go ahead and play Monopoly. There's a fabulous quote. I believe I originally saw it in the name of Partners in Torah, a Kirov organization, or an organization, I should say, that spreads the word of Torah. I don't care how much you know, until I know how much you care. And our children certainly have to see, first and foremost, not just our children, everyone has to see, they need to know how much we care. Reb Moshe Feinstein used to get a phone call from a woman every Erev Pesach. She had a heart condition. And so the woman would call Reb Moshe if she could take this medicine for her heart, did it have chametz, and patiently every Erev Pesach, Reb Moshe Feinstein. Now, tangentially, do we have any, we know what our Erev Pesach looks like. An Erev Pesach for a Rav can be a pretty pressure day. For Reb Moshe, we probably can't even fathom it times a gazillion. But every year, patiently, he took time to go ahead and explain to her why the medicine was okay and why it didn't contain chometz and why she could take it. A son of this lady, he's a doctor in New Jersey, told me the story. He said, after this routine for about 20 years, my mother was getting elderly. She was starting to forget a little bit. And one year, on Erev Pesach, she forgot to call Reb Moshe. A little bit before candle lighting, the phone rings in her home and she picks it up. And the voice on the other end says, "A guten Erev Yom Tov. This is Moshe Feinstein calling. I didn't hear from you today, and I needed to know, are you okay? When I didn't get the phone call, I just wanted to make sure that everything was okay." Now, you should all let that story sink in. Maybe I shouldn't say this publicly, but I, or maybe even most of us, we don't look to make extra phone calls. Like, if I'm told there's a call I don't need to return, that's a simcha. And I said that in front of a lot of my balabatim here. Reb Moshe goes out of his way to call a woman on her Erev Pesach. "You okay? I didn't hear from you." And that's what it means. You take a look at our leaders leading by example. We have to become Reb Moshe-esque in nature. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a number of years ago, was presented with the following shaila. In the middle of the week, there was a man who met a friend, and the friend said, "I can't wait, this coming Shabbos, you're going to have your son's bar mitzvah, and I'm really excited because he's going to lay in the special haftorah." Now, I don't remember which haftorah it was. It was one of the special ones, be it Parshas Parah for Rosh Chodesh. That's what I mean by when I say special. In other words, not the one that's read regularly with the parsha. And the man turns white. "I didn't realize there was a special haftarah, and it's Wednesday. It took me almost a year to teach my son, who as it is needs extra help, the haftarah that he did. And now you're telling me that there's a special haftarah? All you do is 2 days left." The man goes to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and he says, "Rosh Hashiva, what should I do? It took me almost a year to teach him this one, and now with 2 days?" Reb Shlomo Zalman said, "I paskin, I'm deciding lahalacha, your son should lay in the regular haftarah. And if anybody in the shul questions it, you'll tell them Reb Shlomo Zalman paskin." Shabbos morning, he and his son arrive in the shul. And by the time they get there, they see sitting in the shul, already in his 80s, was sitting Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. As I heard the Maisa and I heard the story, the walk for him was just south or north of an hour. They go over, "Rosh Hashiva, what are you doing here?" And Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, "I know I gave you my psak and I know you were going to tell it to them. But I realized that there might be a few minutes where when you say what my psak is, there might be a little bit of conversation or talk back and forth. And I could only imagine in those few minutes the agmas nefesh, or the anxiety and stress you would have. And I didn't want you to go through that for a few minutes, so I had to come and be here myself, in person, to make sure it wouldn't happen." Do we get it? That's what it means when we saw tonight's topic, like a parent treats a child. Our leaders understand that we are all children and all need to be treated with that fatherly love. And if we can be that way, then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "I see you're the real deal. You walk the walk and talk the talk." Then like he is our Father in heaven, he will treat us as such. There's a man who survived the war, and because he lost everything, family, the way I read the story many times and heard it, he would walk the streets of Borough Park dejected, like he lost everything. There was a man who would stop him whenever he saw him, and every day he would give this man a lot of chizuk. The man said that he had strength to go on even though he lost everything in the war because of the person that stopped to speak to him every day. Now, I always find that to be a beautiful story. And so, who was the man that had time every day to boost the spirit whenever he saw this person in Borough Park? It was the prince of the Torah world, Reb Aaron Cutler. Reb Aaron Cutler, although his yeshiva was in Lakewood, that's where he spent Shabbos. Weekdays, he lived in an apartment in Borough Park, and he would see the man and stop and just speak to the man to make him feel love. And like we said earlier, I want you to know that I care. Reb Aaron, saving world Jewry, literally and figuratively, gives the man chizuk to go on. One day, Reb Aaron tells the man, you'll remarry, you'll have a daughter, and Be'ezras Hashem, I'll dance at her chasana. The man said it was the furthest thing from his mind. But sure enough, he remarried and he had a daughter, and she became the apple of his eye. Like Reb Aaron said, when she was about 10, Reb Aaron was nifter, he passed away. And the man was devastated, knowing Reb Aaron said, please God, he would dance at her chasana. About 10 years later, the girl becomes a kala. At her chasana, in the middle of the first dance, Reb Schneur Cutler, Reb Aaron's only son, comes in, and he starts to dance lebedik, very enthusiastically, with the girl's father. When the first dance ends, he goes over to Reb Schneur and he says, Rosh Hashiva, I'm so honored that you're here. But he wasn't invited. They weren't unusually close. He didn't want to bother Reb Schneur. He said, what are you doing here? Reb Schneur said, before my father, Reb Aaron, was nifter, he called me in and he said, there's a man in Borough Park who has a daughter, and I said I was going to dance at her chasana. That's obviously not going to happen. So when you find out that she becomes a kala, go to the chasana and dance in my place. And that's why I'm here, because that's what my father told me before he was nifter, to take down the name, find out when your daughter becomes a kala, and in his place to dance at her chasana. Now you don't need me to explain that story. If you'd ask anybody what Reb Aaron spoke about before he was nifter, and you'd make a list thousands of events long, you wouldn't necessarily make that one of them. But prime and first and foremost on Reb Aaron's mind was, there's a girl, find out when she becomes a kala, and dance at her chasana. That story should affect us and shake us to the core. You see, Reb Moshe understood it on an Erev Pesach. Reb Shlomo Zalman understood it before a bar mitzvah. And Reb Aaron understood it before he passed away. And that's why the topic tonight is like a parent treats a child. Our leaders guide the way and show us how to behave. And as we said earlier, the angel told Manoach, Mikol asher amarti el isha tishomer, show them the love, show them the knowledge, show them that you care. You gotta be the real deal. It's either I'll be five when I get off the bus, or we have a gemach in Monopoly. It's remembering the Reb Moshe, Reb Shlomo Zalman, and the Reb Aaron stories. It's being there, one person for another. People use the word achrayus. Achrayus means to, you know what achrayus is? The last few stories I just told you. That's achrayus. Any definition I give would water it down. Achrayus is the stories I just told you. The letters of achrayus teach you what you need to know about that art of caring. How do you spell achrayus? Aleph, Ches, Resh, Yud, Vav, Saf. Personally, I had 2 months ago the privilege of saying this. I had the schus in the summer to be one of the people who went and led a tour to Hungary, and we spent Shabbos in Prague. Friday night we davened in the shul of the Maral. Shabbos morning we davened in the shul where Reb Yonasan Eibschitz and his Bezdin were, a shul that's hundreds of years old. I had the privilege of saying the following, and I didn't know at the time that the U.S. ambassador to the Czech Republic was there, and he told me afterwards he was very, very moved by the following thought. Achrayus is spelled Aleph Ches Resh Yud Vav Saf. That's the art of taking care of another person. What's the first letter? Aleph. Aleph means you have to be responsible and take care of yourself. The next letter is Ches. When you put it together, Aleph and Ches is Ach. Do you take care of your brothers, your family? The next letter is a Resh. Aleph Ches Resh. That spells the word Acher. You've got to take care of others. We don't live in a cocoon. There are neighbors in shul. There are co-workers. There are people that we invite to experience a first Shabbos. The next letter is a Yud. Aleph Ches Resh Yud. That spells the word Achara. You tell someone, follow after me. You see that I care. You see that follow after me. What's the next letter? Aleph Ches Resh Yud Vav. That spells the word Acharav. They'll feel comfortable following after you because they see you're the real deal. And what's the last letter? Aleph Ches Resh Yud Vav Saf. That means the first letter was an Aleph. The last letter is a Tuf. That's the beginning and end of the Aleph Beis. True Achrayus is beginning to end. You'll hear that vart once, you'll never forget it. Achrayus doesn't mean, I like you, you're part of my milieu, today's a good day. You know, we just do so many things similar. That's called cloning. Achrayus is to take care of yourself, to take care of your family, to take care of your neighbors, to take care of every person. Let them follow after you, they will. Aleph to Tuf, beginning to end, to be the real deal. To set the example. Because they are watching. There's a story that I heard in the name of the Rosh Hashiva in Detroit. His name was Reb Leib Bakst. There's a Gemara that says that a person should live in a city where they have a gavra demistafina mine. That means someone that they are fearful of. Someone that they feel they are accountable to. Someone who will keep them in line. He was visited by the Ponovizhia Rav, whose yard site was last week. And the Ponovizhia Rav said, Reb Leib, you're in Detroit. He said, I live in Bnei Brak. My gavra de mistafina mine is the Chazon Ish. Just imagine having the Chazon Ish. In other words, that's the one that you realize this is the person. Of course, it's to Hashem, but in terms of the person that you live amongst, that you're answerable to, that will keep you in line. So he asks Reb Leib, you're in Detroit. Who's your gavra de mistafina mine here? And Reb Leib, as I heard this story, turned to the Ponovizhia Rav and said, my children. My children are my gavra de mistafina mine. And that's really what tonight's topic is. They're watching. And the example has to be set. And the parenting has to be there. And all the examples we gave about knowing that you care from the Reb Moshe, Reb Aaron, Reb Shlomo Zalman, and others. If we would realize that our child, our neighbor in shul, a co-worker, they have to be our gavra de mistafina mine. They've got to see we walk the talk, we walk the walk, talk the talk, and we are the real deal. Our gavra de mistafina mine, they're watching. Just ask the little boy who said, I'll be 5 when I get off the bus. Our gavra de mistafina mine means that people are watching and we have to let them know that we care. Lest you think that this idea of a parent treating a child and a leader loving a Talmud is reserved exclusively for our Gedolim. There was a boy in Eretz Yisrael who, when he was 10 years old, as I heard the Maisa many times, he tells his school he needs a tutor. The tutor starts tutoring this 10-year-old boy, and she realizes, you don't need a tutor. Like, you're perfectly smart. You absolutely don't need a tutor. She asks him at one point, like, what are you doing this for? It costs money. No, I need a tutor, he says. The 10-year-old does. This goes on a little bit longer. He has the tutor, and she realizes, like, The boy clearly is a very, very smart, brilliant boy. He doesn't need a tutor. So again, she brings it up, and finally the 10-year-old says, "You're right. But let me tell you why I want you to tutor me. There's another boy in the class who was the only boy who needed a tutor. And whenever he would walk out, he would clearly feel badly or inferior, that he's different and he's the only one who needs a tutor. And I didn't want him to feel that way, so I took it upon myself that if I also need tutoring, then it looks more natural. He needs and I need, and the focus will be taken off him. And so I did it so that he shouldn't feel the way he feels, and so that's why I'd like you to keep tutoring me." So you see, greatness and leadership can come from a 10-year-old. And I'm trying to look at some of your faces to see if you realize the story you just heard, and I'm sure some of you did. Because it's nice that I told you it happened with a 10-year-old boy, but that wouldn't be telling you the full story. Because the world, a little bit more than 2 months ago, found out, and the world knows who that boy is. That 10-year-old a number of years ago was none other than Gilad Shear, who was one of the three yeshiva boys that were kidnapped, and the world united for 18 days, 18 Am Yisrael Chai, unprecedented since perhaps Brias Hoylem. I say that because with modern technology and the ability for the word to spread in a minute, I don't know that there was ever more quantitative prayer like those 18 days for Gilad Shear, Eyal Yifrach, and Naftali Frankel, the 10-year-old in the story who needed a tutor, or didn't, so that the other boy wouldn't feel inferior, was Gilad Shear. The one that the entire world united for. So a 10-year-old teaches the world what it means to let people know that you care. And yeah, I think we could say he taught us parenting. This past week, I was in New Jersey on Tuesday night, and somebody shared with me a story from Reb Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who was, of course, the legendary Rav in Yerushalayim. I felt hearing the story, I flew to New Jersey, it would have been worth walking there for this story. My father used to say that type of line. If there was a good Dvar Torah, he would say that type of expression. Reb Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld is walking down the streets of Yerushalayim one day, and he sees a 4-year-old girl who's crying. And she's in front of a school. He wonders why she's crying. He sees the teacher standing nearby. The teacher says to Reb Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, the legendary Rav of Yerushalayim, "Today's the first day of school. And everyone had their parent come pick them up. This girl's mother is very not well. She's in the hospital. And so apparently, no one in the family remembered to pick her up. And so she's crying because no one came and everyone else had a parent to pick them up." Reb Yosef Chaim asks the teacher for the girl's address. He finds out she lives 3 blocks away. He takes the 4-year-old girl and he walks her home. He walks into the house and it's really in total disarray. The mother is very not well in the hospital, a number of children. It's not a good situation. Reb Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld turns to the 4-year-old girl and he says, "Your mother will have a refuah shalema. And she will, be'ezras Hashem, be at your chuppah." As the girl grows up, the mother indeed miraculously has a refuah shalema. People keep reminding the girl.